welcome to the NC Students Podcast. NC Students is the middle school and high school ministry of Northland Cathedral in Kansas City, Missouri. For more information on NC Students and Northland Cathedral, please visit www.northlandcathedral.org. Thank you for listening, and please enjoy this week's message.
We are kicking off our brand new series here for the month of February, and just like we did last month with Own It, we're going to have a few weeks where we're going to actually deal with the text, deal with Scripture, deal with ourselves, and then looking forward to the very last week of Love Is, having another panel discussion, but we're going to do some husband-wife things. Hopefully that'll be hilarious because, I've done it in the past. Y'all want to hear Carol Harrop come down here and talk about relationships? Wouldn't that be awesome? Yeah, I think I might have to ask her to join us. So I have some ideas. Submit me some ideas. If you want to hear your grandma come down here, you tell me that. But I'm super stoked about having a time where we're going to hear from people who actually maybe have some tenure in terms of relationship and marriage. So Love is the title of this series. And what we're going to do is talk about what love is. And today's message is all about kind of setting up the next 2 weeks. This message is like actually kind of brief. Yay! But I think what we do in the next few weeks has a lot to do with today and kind of being set up for today. So as my wife and I were planning, because we preach the same stuff, except she junior high atizes, whatever that word is. She makes it appropriate for junior hires. We were talking about like expectations and love and kind of what our culture will tell us. We're kind of in a love-crazed world, right? Like, I'm so glad it's 2017. You know why? Not because it's a new year, but because Christmas is over, because in my house, my wife and my daughter were like watching Hallmark Christmas love stories. And let me tell you what, my daughter's smart. She's like, it's like the same movie with different names and people and slightly different plot. Like, they fell in love in a cafe, but they fell in love in the airport, but it's the same stinking plot. Hallmark, no offense to anyone who parents or someone works at Hallmark, because they are a local company, but I'm like, golly. So I actually got an opportunity to like hang out with the boys, my sons, and not watch TV with my wife and daughter, because I'm like, these are just like sickening, gross, like love stories. And people are walking out, so maybe I'm really offending some people. Sorry for you Hallmark fans. Whatever. So let's think about it. But not just Hallmark. You know who the worst offender is? And it's like this indoctrination when you're a child? Disney. And here's where my wife wrote me some notes because she was like throwing them out there. I'm like, oh, I don't even know these movies. Cinderella. Cinderella meets Prince Charming at a ball. Poof, true love. Really? Like, he's going to search everywhere because they had this magical evening, but he didn't even know her name to be able to track her down, right? But that's like true love, and they live happily ever after. Tarzan and Jane. Don't even speak the same language. They do this with their hands. And Paul Simon is singing, "You'll be in my heart." Poof. True love. And they live happily ever after. Let's see. What else Disney has done? Snow White. Snow White. Is that the one where she's like, okay, hold on. Tarzan and Jane meet in the, Cinderella meets in a ball. Tarzan and Jane meets in the jungle. Cinderella meets, is it Prince Charming? Cinderella meets somebody, a prince, in the forest with little dwarves. And she thinks, someday, my prince. Yeah, I can't even do that. But she's singing, someday my prince will come in through the forest. He's like, my prince is here. Listen, I'm teaching my daughter, if you're in the forest and some dude emerges from the trees, you mace him, you kick him, and you run. But there's, someday my prince will come, poof, true love, and they live happily ever after. I don't know what it is with the forest in Disney World. Creepy enough. Sleeping Beauty. These are my wife's notes, right? Because I was like, you got to write this stuff down for me. Also met in a forest. Poof. True love. And Beauty and the Beast. Beauty and the Beast kind of almost starts off realistic. I know he's a beast, which isn't totally realistic. But like, they weren't like, oh, true love. It was like, you're a jerk. You know? And he's like, I'm angry because I have this flower that's dying. And my inanimate objects are actually not inanimate any longer. But with like 3 days, it's like, poof, true love. I'm like, are you kidding me? Listen, Disney's to blame. I don't know if Disney's fully to blame for some of the expectations that we carry. Let me tell you, it's not a Disney movie, but I think this is perhaps the most realistic love story ever made in a cartoon form. got a quick clip for you. This is real life right here.
You did it! You rescued me! You're amazing! You're wonderful! You're a little unorthodox, I'll admit, but thy deed is great, and thine heart is pure. I am eternally in your debt. And where would a brave knight be without his noble steed?
All right, I hope you heard that. She called me a noble steed. She think I'm a steed.
The battle is won. You may remove your helmet, good sir knight.
No.
Why not?
I have helmet hair.
Please, I would look upon the face of my rescuer.
Oh, no, you wouldn't. Durst.
But how will you kiss me?
What? That wasn't in the job description.
Maybe it's a perk.
No, it's destiny. Oh, you must know how it goes. A princess locked in a tower and beset by a dragon is rescued by a brave knight. And then they share true love's first kiss.
Hmm? With Shrek? You think... Wait a second. You think that Shrek is your true love?
Well, yes.
You think Shrek is your true love?
What is so funny?
Let's just say I'm not your type, okay?
Of course you are. You're my rescuer. Now remove your helmet.
Look, I really don't think this is a good idea.
Just take off the helmet.
I'm not going to.
Take it off.
No!
Now!
Okay, easy. As you command, Your Highness.
You're an ogre.
Oh, you're expecting Prince Charming?
Well, yes, actually.
Now, I said this is that's not a Disney movie, so maybe they got it right, because Disney kind of set you up for this thing. But she was expecting Prince Charming. So here, she bought in too. She was watching too many Disney movies, apparently. But she meets Shrek, who definitely didn't line up with her expectation. And she's disappointed. And here's the deal. When our expectations don't get met, we become disappointed, disillusioned. I think this is the most realistic love story because it wasn't love at first sight. As a matter of fact, they had to even like learn how to like each other at first. And they had to like hang out before they realized they did like each other, and then like turned into whatever it turned into, ogre love or whatever that is. I don't know, but it's realistic far more than Cinderella. And I don't want to bag, I'm not going to continue to knock on Disney, but I was thinking about Ariel. Like, man, I love him because he has real legs. You know, like, what is that? Like, that's like true love. But these people had to work something out. And here's the deal. They say, and I don't know who they are, but they say that like the divorce rate amongst Christians in the church are the same as anybody else, 50%, which is pretty tough odds. And my goal for you, and I've done weddings for kids in this youth ministry, not this particular season of youth ministry, but kids who've grown up in this youth ministry, and it's such a joy to watch and be a part of that. And I perform those things, and I'm just like, man, everybody dreams of happily ever after. Everyone thinks, like, this is the person for the rest of my life, and I'm afraid that maybe sometimes our expectations of love being a really strong feeling, and sometimes we make love just a strong feeling. If I have that strong feeling, but guess what? Here's the thing. If it's just a strong feeling, those feelings begin to not be as strong. You get to know each other, and we begin to wonder if it's love, or we become annoyed, or their breath stinks. Like you never knew their breath stunk until like the day after you were married. Like that first morning, it's like, whoa! I mean, like, you begin to notice things. And so love actually takes a little bit of work. Love is actually a choice where we lead ourselves and we guide ourselves into something. Love covers a multitude of sins, but yet when we talk about romantic relationships, we don't want there to be any kind of multitude of sins because we want that person to be just right. And the thing about the person being just right, while you should choose wisely and you should use discernment and wisdom, is you can't really change who that person is. You can only really be responsible for you. So what we're going to do today is we're going to look at a passage of scripture that really defines what love is, more than just a strong feeling. And listen, it's exciting in those early days of relationship. Heather and I, first time we hold hands, it was like, whoa. And now it's like, get on your side of the bed. I love her more today than I ever have. But it's not like it was. And thank God it's not, because I think we have something that's far deeper and greater. But it's just not Walt Disney World love story any longer. Paul talks about what love is, and that's the title of this series. But he talks about it in a very bizarre place. He wasn't saying, now, Christian wives and husbands and Christian young people, let me tell you and prepare you for marriage. Let me tell you what love is. You know what Paul was doing? In 1 Corinthians, he was correcting the church. There was all kinds of weird stuff going on. They were like eating the Lord's Supper, and people who had food would like gorge themselves. It wasn't like the cracker and the wafer. You've heard me talk about 1 Corinthians 13 on every missions trip when we take communion. But there was like division in the church. People were using spiritual gifts to like show how superior they are to other people. And that's where we just saw that video. We're going to read that passage of scripture. He says, man, you could speak with tongues of angels. You could do all these awesome God things, and if there's no love behind it, then they're really useless. They're really kind of worthless. You have your Bibles. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. It's a very short passage of scripture that we're going to read today. As a matter of fact, we're going to be in this same passage of scripture for the next 3 weeks, so hang with me. Paul defines and describes what love is, and I can't tell you, I've done wedding ceremony after wedding ceremony, and 1 Corinthians 13 is read in that ceremony. That people are like, I want that to be read. I want that to be, you know, we're going to light a candle or something like that. And I'm like, you know, this is like a church discipline text. You know, Paul was like kicking butt to the Corinthians who were divided in the church relationships. But yeah, we can read that because it's a great description of love. We're going to start in, you know, verse 1, you heard that bumper video, it has this whole thing, but let's start in verse 1. If I could speak with language of earth and of angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could move mountains but didn't love others, I would be nothing. If I give everything I have to the poor and even sacrificed my body, I could boast about it. But if I didn't love others, I would have gained nothing. All these awesome, mighty, spiritual acts. But without love, he's saying, they're really nothing. That love is far more important of the equation of these acts being done in love than all these things that, you know, they were using to leverage how great they were in separating themselves from others. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, he talks about spiritual gifts, and 14, he talks about, you know, the value of prophecy versus speaking in tongues, because is it done in love? Is it done to edify the church and for the body? And I know what you guys are thinking. You're saying, Jerome, what does this have to do with relationships? And even though I know it's not about relationships directly in terms of love relationships, it is about relationships. And relationships are messy, and relationships are hard. And so Disney World tells me, that's Shrek. They tell me the other stuff, the someday my prince will come, poof, you know, true love. When Disney tells me that, and I think it's a really strong feeling, and therefore my expectations are I'm going to have a really strong feeling, that's all we need. And there's songs like, all we need is love. No, you don't. You need some people skills. You need some communication skills. All we need is love is not quite all you need. But this is about relationships, and you guys know this. Before we get to my big idea, my big point, and like I said, this is a brief message. You guys know this already, that relationships are difficult. How much more is a marriage? We bicker with our friends, we bicker with people in our church, we bicker with our family. I'm not bashing anyone for anything you guys have done. I'm just saying, in general, my wife and I still argue. It's a difficult thing. Well, how can you invest? And here's the point I want to make tonight, and here's why we're going to park on 1 Corinthians chapter 13, even though it's a ecclesiastical corrective text. I use big words to prove I went to seminary. Just hang with me. But here's the deal. Your future love life is being shaped by your present life of love. Your future love life, what you dream and hope to have one day, is being shaped today in your present with the life of love that you live. Your ability and willingness to learn what it means to love today will pay dividends in your love life, in relationship, in the future. You want that marriage, you want those kids, you want that home, whatever you desire in your future. What you do today is actually kind of shaping and preparing your future. That's tough. I'm not saying what you're doing in your boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, and that does exist, but what you're doing with your parents, the way that you love your folks, the way that you love your siblings, the way that you love one another or your friends, those things are shaping you. You are learning patterns and reactions to things that you will carry into your marriage, both good and bad. Oftentimes, we just kind of do what our parents did without realizing it, or we do exactly the opposite because we realized it. We're like, I'm not doing that. But here's some intentional instruction of what love should look like and be. Let's read, starting in verse 4, what he says about love. Love is patient and kind. Love is not jealous or boastful or proud or rude. It does not demand its own way. It is not irritable, and it keeps no record of being wronged. It does not rejoice about injustice, but rejoices whenever the truth wins out. Love never gives up. Love never loses faith, is always hopeful, endures through every circumstance. Let me just tell you that. People want this at their wedding because it sounds so awesome, like, wow, look at how awesome love is. But those things are only awesome when they actually mean something. To never give up means there's a temptation to give up. To never lose faith means there's the temptation to lose faith. To not be irritable means there's something that's irritating. And if you know, because you have friends and you have family, and one day you'll have a spouse, that there's plenty irritating. There's plenty things that will test you. But you have the opportunity now. And friendships are important. Your family is greatly important. But nothing will be like your future love life, your spouse. You have opportunity now to get ready for that moment and display what it means to be not someone who keeps record of wrongs. If you do that now with your friends and do that now with each other, you'll likely do that in the future. You have the opportunity now to know what it's like to say, I'm not going to demand my way. Because I don't know what it's like. It's almost like if I think, you know what? When the summertime comes, I want to wear, you know, I want my six-pack. I don't want to wear a bikini, so that's not a good applicable. But, you know, like, I want to be ready, and I'm going to make sure I eat really good in the summertime so I look good at the beach. In Anaheim, California, 2017 Fine Arts Festival, signed up by February 22nd. Just a little commercial there. But you can't say I'm gonna eat careful come June and July so that in August I'm at the beach and I'm ready. No, you gotta kind of start that deal now. It's the same thing. You start just kind of living kind of loose with these rules of what love means, and I don't care. It doesn't really matter. I'll really pay attention when I'm married. Man, you're not ready for that. Essentially, if you think, well, this is good stuff, and I want to do that when I'm married, do that now. And the way we do that now is we walk with the Lord, because we will mess this up, because we are selfish people. I am selfish. I'm cranky. I want my way. I hold things against people. But I'm like, Lord, would you transform and change me? And the only way that would do that is not my own willpower, but really being transformed by Him, communing with Him, reading the Word, praying, having that relationship where I'm changed. I want to do those things, but let me tell you what, because I'm my sinful nature, they don't come easy. I told you this was a quick message. The next few weeks, we're going to talk about what love is and what love isn't. Love, kind, faithful, hopeful, enduring, jealous. It's not jealous, rude, proud, or demanding. For all my short sermon people, the whole one-point message probably gets thrown out the window for the next few weeks. But today, the message is simply this, that your future love life is being shaped by your present life of love. Are you loving? Are you enduring? Are you forgiving? Are you walking with grace with your friends and your family? Because you're setting up yourself, if you are, in a really good spot. Marriage is hard. You can do everything right as a young person. It's still hard. Do what you can to invest today. If we do this, my dream is to watch you guys, and the privilege I get as a youth pastor, you guys leave here and you're like, Jerome was a great memory, but I like watch you, not like stalk you, but I watch your life. And I want to see you guys thrive and do well. I want to see your homes honoring God and your children. And then, listen, there are bumps. I have bumps in the road, and I've got messes too. Thank God for grace. But make that investment like you can today. Live out love today in these relationships, in this room, in your home. And I'm convinced that you're going to be able to reap the benefits in the future. The next few weeks, we're going to talk about these things specifically. And I'm not quite sure how we're going to approach it, but we may be sitting in a circle, we may not, is what I'm saying. Let me pray for you guys. Then we're going to break in groups. We have so much time, too much time. But that's okay, because I'm done. Your future love life is being shaped by your present life of love. Live it that out. I'm not just buying time because it's too early to break you into groups. I'm just recapping because preachers repeat themselves like 800 times. So I have like 799 to go. Your future, I'm just kidding, let's pray. When you go to groups, I want you to just kind of chat with each other and talk about your hopes and your dreams for the future and really what you can do today to invest in that. And the real, like my wife, I promise you, over there in the middle school side, she talked about the struggle is real. I don't talk like that. I guess my wife does. But the struggle is real. Relationships are messy. And we know that. And I celebrate that because it's an opportunity for grace. Man, before you go in groups, let me just say this. We need to add more chairs because someone walks in here, they're like, oh, I don't want to sit next to you because I don't know you. I think this is a great opportunity and a great series. If you want to invite a friend to church, you've been meaning to do it. My wife challenged my daughter the other day. She says, you need to invite someone to church. Not a Christian. Don't cheat. Invite someone who doesn't go to church. And the girl's over there, so we're praying kind of for church, first every church experience. But this right here, whether you're a Christian or not, this right here, this description of what love is applies. Whether you trust in Jesus or not, your friends who don't know Jesus want love and want to be loved. And so invite them. We'll put some other chairs out. And who knows what God will do in their life.